didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. He didn't build his home in us to move away. He didn't lift us up to let us down. Some promises in a letter written a long, long time ago. They're not getting older, they're getting better. That's why he wants everyone to know. Didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. He didn't build his home in us to move away. He didn't lift us up. Never use the word defeat. Claim his promises, every one of them. And every spoken word he'll keep, 'cause we're everything to him. This far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. He didn't build his home in us to move away. He didn't lift us up to let us down.
How about that from an old farm boy? The old cows like me singing to them because they don't close their ears. Amen. It's good to be back here. I'll turn this off. It's good to be back. Thank you, Monty, for letting me come back, and I appreciate it. I got to see a lot of old characters here that I went messed around with a few times, and I appreciate it. Talking about OSU, it was hard to get in back when I was there. The first time I ever went to OSU, they had a big test. There's about 400 or 500 of us in this classroom, about this big, and they asked us to take this test, see if we could get in. And I got down there, I was so scared. Come from a small town called Pale, and it was about, I think I had 18 in my graduating class, and there's over 400 in that class. Never seen so many. They had the whole payola there, you know what I mean? And first question of the test was, Old MacDonald had a blank. And I couldn't think of the word. I was so nervous, and I tapped the old boy on the front, and I said, what did Old MacDonald have? And he said, you know, a farm. And I said, oh, yeah, okay. And I started to write down. I forgot how to spell farm. And I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, how do you spell farm? And he said, you know, E-I-E-I-O. See where I come from, brother? I sure like your attitude. But I tell you, what tempted me or wanted me to talk about today is that this last week, I always wonder what God wants me to do each week and each day. Do you feel that way sometimes? That you wonder what God's got planned for you and what you need done? Well, I ran into a guy. There's two things that happened that made me talk about today. One of them was a guy that I'd met in 1988 on a mission field, and he came back, and we'd taken about 20-some-odd people down there, and there was over 380 people come to know Christ. And he wrote that up in his church, and he sent me that thing back in 1988, like this week, and I read it, and it was exciting because, you know, when you're reading something that's meant a lot to you, you become happy, and then pretty soon you start enjoying it. There's a difference in being happy and being joyful. And I was real happy that he sent it to me, but then I started thinking of all the wonderful things God had done, and through that, the joy started filling my heart with so much joy to know that I'm just curious how many people we're going to get to see when we get to heaven that we came in contact with. And just like a few friends here that I've been acquainted with, and even though they call me character, I don't know what that means, but they say I'm a character. Do y'all believe I'm a character? Yeah, I believe y'all believe that. And then another guy I ran into that hadn't seen in probably 15 years. And Terry, I don't know how long we've known each other, but those acquaintances become a joyful thing because when you serve the Lord, everything becomes joyful instead of just happy. And so in turn, I'm going to speak to you about joy. But this man I met in the Atwoods, and he was walking, and he was trying to get out of my way with a cart. And I kept trying to get in his way, and I was going to hit him. He didn't know who I was. And finally, I hit him, and I said, "Marty, how you doing?" And he went, "Tuffy Wiggly." And I said, "I knew you'd never forget me." And so when he started talking, he'd been hit by a train, and it took him 2 miles down the tracks, and he'd been knocked out for 2 weeks. And that was a few years back, and he lost a son and everything. And all through that, we talked, and I couldn't get away from him. He was so happy. And then pretty soon, you could tell it became joyful to him to get to meet me again, and we get to talk about old times again, we got to talk about this again. And so in turn, he said, "You know, I want to tell you something." Now, I want to tell you what happened to him in Mexico. I don't know about you, but third day he was there, a woman about 65 years old had him over to eat at their house. There's three of them, and they sat down on the couch, and after they'd eaten, and that woman came in with some water and a towel, and she wanted to wash their feet. And he told me, he said, "I want to tell you something. I've had a lot of things in my life, but the greatest joy I ever had was going to Mexico." I went, "You know, you've done a lot of things in life." And he said, "Yeah, but the most joyful thing I had." You know why? It's because someone loved him enough to wash his feet. And so he was joyful about what God has done in his life. Now, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of people that I'm around and I run into and I preach to, and I've learned this, is that whatever you are, that's what you are by yourself. Not with all these people here, not with dressing up and coming to church, but when you're by yourself, like me sometimes out in the pasture, and nobody's around me, who I really am. And I'm joyful because of who Christ is. I'm not happy. You know, some people say, you know, it's like when you're happy, it lasts a short time, but when you're joyful, it lasts a lifetime. And so in turn, I want to share with you some 7 points. Now, this is going to take 2.5 hours, so if y'all get up and leave, I understand why. Because some of you don't like to hear me talk that long. Amen? But I want you to know that the Lord is in control of all things, no matter what's happening. And I want you to know that I sung that song to you because that came to me too, because I hadn't sung that song in probably 15 years. But I love songs that relate to some of the things that happened in my life. I can't preach something that hadn't happened to me. But I can preach this to you because of the people I run into that are still serving. There's some things in your life that you probably won't know, but these 7 things are some of the 7 joys that you have in Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but he's got the scriptures. On the first scripture we're going to turn to is Luke 19:6. Now, Monty uses a different Bible, a translation I do. I use the New King James, and he uses the Holloman. So it says in verse 8, now I don't know if you remember this, I wasn't here at the time, but Zacchaeus, if y'all remember Zacchaeus, I don't. I just know that it's a story about Zacchaeus that was in the tree, and he was looking for Jesus. And Jesus recognized him. And, you know, I don't know about you, and I don't know how many here knows Jesus Christ and has that joy in their lives because of what Christ has done. But the first thing, Zacchaeus was noticed by God himself, Jesus, and it says, so he quickly came down and welcomed him joyfully. Now, I don't know about you, but when you were saved, and I can tell you exactly where I was and how I was saved. You heard me testimony he read about me at age 13. I was laying flat on my back in bed at 11 o'clock at night. I knew exactly when Christ came. And I was joyful because my burdens were lifted. I don't know exactly what happened. And I don't know if Zacchaeus knew exactly what happened, but he was looking. And I was looking for Christ. So the first joy is your salvation. When you have salvation, it says in John 10:10 that this life is abundant. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes you have so much stuff in your house, you rent something and go put your stuff in a storage deal and pay rent on it for it to have dust. But the Bible says this abundance is a joyful thing, and it continues. You know, I'm as happy today as I was 20 years ago. But the joy is getting more and more because I keep having people in my life. I like you, Terry, but I learned to love you. The joyful of that is that people have joy in their lives. It changes their lives. So salvation changes a person. It says you're not the old person anymore. You become new. And that joyful thing of salvation is that you know Jesus Christ now. You used to be a person that Jesus calls a stranger. But a person that's in Christ is really a joyful person. You know, I've been around people that are happy people. And next thing you know, they've lost their happiness. But I've seen people that had salvation and you can't stop them. But you'll see some people that say they have salvation, you never see them again. And when they see you, they duck their head. They don't want to talk to you. They're ashamed of what they've done. But salvation is something that's free. On my end of my testimony, I want people to know Christ, don't you? Don't you want to know, have people that have a joyful thing? I don't know about you, but I've had more griping, complaining the last 3 months than I have in a long time. People gripe about anything. They'll find anything to gripe about. And I said, are you going to be joyful one of these days? Are you a Christian? Do you believe what Jesus said about this day? All things are not new. It says all things become new. But the Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun. Did you know we're living in a day that's about the same as it was back in Egypt's day? Did you know all these things are nothing new? Y'all are here for a purpose, and the purpose is to share the gospel and help other people know the truth. Let me just say, you need to be joyful. Before I get started too far into this, I'd like for you to turn to somebody and just say, you know, I'm a happy person. No, I don't want you to say that, because it won't last very long if you're happy. But if you're joyful, it'll last a lifetime. Go to somebody, just turn to somebody right quick and say, you know, I want to be joyful today. Amen? And so all you women say, a women, okay? Men, you say amen. Amen. The first one is a joyful of your salvation. How many's glad you asked Christ into your life? How many glad that Jesus came to you like he did Zacchaeus and said, I'm glad you were there because I came to you and you didn't reject me. Zacchaeus, he didn't have to come out of the tree. He didn't even have to go get in one to find Jesus. Jesus already knew where he was, and he came to him and let him know. So guess what? He came quickly to welcome him joyfully. Jesus loves you. He wants you to be happy. Now he wants you to be joyful. He wants you to know him forever. And he wants you to be the real thing. The second thing I find, and the second verse is in Acts 8:39. It says, the joy at baptism. Now, I don't know about you, but there was a eunuch that was traveling, and he was reading, and he couldn't understand exactly what was going on. And when it says, when they came up into the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him any longer. But he went on his way, and all God's people said, yeah, he was happy. He was glad that he followed Jesus. He was glad that someone told him about Jesus. And the thing about it is that he was happy because he was changed. Not because of the baptism, it's because he believed. And he wanted to follow Jesus. You know why you're joyful? It's that you follow Jesus. You don't follow the world. I learned a long time ago, a man told me, he said, if you think of the world, just think opposite and you're real close to what Jesus would do. So if you decide to do something, make sure that you don't do what the world does and be joyful and do what God wants you to do. The eunuch was pointed toward the Christ, and he was joyful because he went and did what God wanted him to do. And you know, Philip, he did what God wanted him to do too. He went and baptized the man. And you ought to be excited. Do you remember when you was baptized? I don't know about you, but I was baptized at 13, and I won't tell you really how old I really am, 68. But the thing about it is, that's a long time ago, and we didn't have heated water. And I was baptized in the winter. They didn't even have a faucet for but one faucet in the baptistry. You know what water that was, amen? And when I went down, I came out, whoa, hello, I remember it. And it didn't save me, but I was glad it was over. I was rejoicing it was over. But I did what God wanted to do, and I was excited, and I was joyful because of my baptism. The eunuch was excited because of his baptism. He came out of the water excited. And it was a joyful time. How many remembers being baptized? Anybody remember being baptized? Y'all remember probably the afraid of the water, some of you. I know people that are afraid of water, and it takes forever to get them in. I've baptized people in Mexico and Panama and other places, and they are tickled to be able to be baptized because they know it's a joyful time. And you know what? Usually, when you're baptized, there's a lot of people around. And guess what they say when you come out of the water? Anybody know what they say when you come out of the water? Yeah, and they start clapping. They're rejoicing with you. All of heaven rejoices over one that's saved, but you know they all rejoice because of the baptism and the symbolic meaning of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know the water is a burial water. The Imperials used to sing water grave. And what that is the body goes underwater to complete the death and be coming out alive. Rejoicing. How many is rejoicing right now? How many is glad they're here? Man, y'all don't need to get too excited because, you know, rejoicing is just part of being Pentecostal. Amen? We believe in the gifts. We believe in having a good time in the Lord. And we know rejoicing is what God wants us to do. The joy of our salvation. The joy of being baptized. The joy of number three is God's Word. It's in Jeremiah 15:6. And Jeremiah, y'all know what Jeremiah stood for, and you know all the things about Jeremiah's what was taught. Jeremiah said, in that scripture that's up there, it says, the joy of Jeremiah, he felt dejected and put down and ridiculed. But it says, have you got that scripture in verse Jeremiah 15:16? These words speak to our hearts because of the joy that's in the Word of God. Now, I don't know how many, and I don't want to know, but how many people read God's Word daily. And I want to say this real plain. If you don't read God's Word every day, you're away from God. Did y'all hear that? If you don't read God's Word every day, you're away from God. Because it's a living word that works every day, all the time. It says your words were found, and what do you do? I ate them. You know what you do when you eat something? You devour it. You digest it. You live off of it. Did you know that? Your words became a delight to me, and the what? The joy of my heart. For I have called by your name, Yahweh, God of hosts. You see, God's Word is the most important thing, other than Jesus Christ, that you should know. The joy of reading His Word. You know, I read today coming up here this sermon, and I got excited one more time about how wonderful and joyful God's Word is. How many ever thought that I was going to preach on joy today? Anybody? Huh. That's strange. None of you knew that? But you know what? It's a joyful thing, isn't it? That you knew I was going to preach on God's Word. Amen? There's a lot of people don't preach on God's Word. Did you know that? I've been a lot of places and boy, they miss the boat because God's Word is it. It's not what you think. It's not what I think. It's what God's Word says. And we have to have the joy in that Word. That Word is alive and well. It says it changes people every day. The reason you need to read God's Word every day is because you need to change every day. How many here is a sinner? How many sin today? Oh, what, better drop that lid. The Bible says we need His Word every day to cut out the sin that's always approaching us and always before us. Because every time I read it, and I almost called Terry to sing Count Your Many Blessings, because every time you start reading God's Word, sin starts leaving. Satan hates God's Word. He knows it better than we do, but he hates it because he knows it's true. Do you know it's true? Have you eaten it? Have you digested it? Have you made it a part of your life to make sure? I read it every morning around 5 or 6 o'clock every morning. It depends on how late I sleep. It might be 6. But I get up and I think, the first thing I need to do is not get a cup of coffee. I know some of them do, but the first thing I need to do is read His Word. I need to find out what He says today so I won't sin so much. And when I sin, I immediately turn to God and said, I'm sorry, because of the joy that's in my heart. You know, once you quit doing some of the things that God wants you to do, your happiness kicks in and your joy leaves. The joy of your salvation is your strength, not your happiness. When you have joy, it counts away. I remember in Bible school, I've got that joy, 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 joy. Huh. This is a good congregation, an intelligent congregation, an exciting congregation. The joy of reading God's Word. The Word speaks to our heart to change us each day. I wish I could have loaded y'all up and came with me this morning because I had a 2-hour drive and boy, I was having fun. I was feeling. Did I tell you all my cattle are Christians except a few? Because when I get excited, I have a joyful time with them and they get to hear all kinds of stuff. They get to hear me cry out to God. And then they get to hear me be joyful and sing to God. And then I get to thank Him in Philippians 4:6. If you want to write that down, that's how you pray. You ask God for something, and you sustain that prayer, and then at the end, you thank Him for answering that prayer. God's Word is alive and well. Did y'all know that? Are you joyful? I hope when you leave this place, you walk out of here feeling a lot better about being joyful about what God's doing in your life. But I can't tell you how important it is for you to read God's Word and apply it to your life each day. How many sin today? You don't have to raise your hand. We already know. For all have sinned and come short of God's glory. But the Bible says through His Son we can have forgiveness. That's scriptural, people. I've gotten the last 4 really long. Are y'all ready? If you want to get up and exercise, that's fine. Just don't make a big scene, okay? And enjoy yourself because Jesus is one to enjoy. He gets better. Joy of prayer. Number 4, John 16:24. John 16:24 is, you don't pray in anybody else's name but Jesus. Always ask God to do what He needs to do for you and always use His name. It's a name above all names. It's a name that gives you joy to say it. Everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
That wasn't good enough. Everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Who really gets joyful when they say Jesus? Anybody? Amen. We got one that gets joyful when they say Jesus. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy, what? Will be complete. Not your happiness, but your joy. I've met with people that's lost about everything they've had and all the things they've done. They lost their jobs, they lost everything, but their joy is still intact. Can you believe that? You know why? Because they asked Christ in, and their joy has been completed. This in John, it was talking about a man that says his sorrow was in joy. I don't know about you, some of y'all are going through some rough times. I want to tell you, the joy in prayer is that, I don't know if my wife's watching or not, but her nephew was 18 and he had a scholarship to go to Naval Academy, and the day he was supposed to report, he had cancer at 18. He fought with cancer till March 12th. But 2 weeks before he died, they summons me over to his house. I got to know him pretty well. He wasn't really a nice guy. I mean, you wouldn't have thought nicest guy you ever met. And I went over and he really looked bad and it was sad. But I said, how long has it been since you... How long does it seem like 18 years have gone? He said, real fast. And I said, you know what? That's scriptural. Did you know that? I don't know how old you are, but I'm 68, and it seemed like it went real fast. Did you know what I mean? It says that your life is like a vapor. I don't know if y'all have ever been around vapors, but they don't last long. And I can't even remember being 18, but I remember that it went fast. And I told him these 18 years are fast, and he wasn't raised really to really know what Christ could do for him and the joy. And I shared with him my joy that God did with me when I prayed. And make a long story short, he asked me hundreds of questions. I bet I almost quoted the Bible. And I'd get my New Testament out, I'd read some, and then I'd quote some. My favorite is Galatians 6:14. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom I am crucified, him, and I unto the world. And the other one's Acts 4:20. How can I keep silent of things seen and heard? Boy, those are good. Amen? Are y'all getting excited? Are you joyful because of it? And I shared Christ with him, and he accepted Christ. And he wanted to know if I wanted to lead him in a word of prayer. And I said, no, I'm going to let you say it. I will tell you what some of the things you might need to know. You need to ask Christ. And he paid. And I put my hand over my head like that. And I started crying like a baby. I was joyful. Because I heard the man ask Christ into his life. He had 2 weeks. I didn't know how long he lasted. But he told his dad and his mom and his family what he had done. He'd been a good kid, good athlete, smart as a whip to go to Naval Academy and all that. And you know that prayer? You know what prayer is, don't you? The joy of prayer. I get to talk to my Heavenly Father. My dad died in 2003. I don't get to talk to him anymore, Terry. But I get to talk to my Heavenly Father every day. Did you know what? I've got people that are really bad right now in my life. And I pray for them. I shed tears for them. Guess what happened on the way up here today? You were prayed for, ma'am. You were prayed for. I prayed for each one of y'all. And the joy that overcome me was God's going to answer prayer. Did you know what? It says, ask and you will receive. I got to come here today. That's a blessing. That's a joyful thing. What's really strange is I don't know if anybody gets to do what I get to do. I told my friends, I said, I can't believe anybody asked a 68-year-old man to come and do anything anymore. I remember when they were 50 when I was a kid, they were over here and they had 1 foot in the grave. I'm shocked that I get to do anything for the Lord. But you know what? My joy has been completed. I'm so happy today. No. I'm joyful because of what Christ did. I've got to meet David again. I hadn't seen him in 2 years. Man, I'm a joyful guy. I don't know if David is, but I am. And Lisa, she's a mess, so just pray for her. She needs to keep being a mess. Amen? You pray for her. The sorrow into joy. Are you a joyful person? That was number 4. And number 5 is the joy in troubles. James 1:2. James 1:2, and it says, consider it a great joy. A great joy, not just partial, but a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials. Has anybody had a problem this week? Not all of you raise your hand at once, but you have problems. Did y'all know that? In this James, it talks about various trials that come about. People making fun of you. I've been made fun of. They said, at least you know, I've been made fun of. I've been called a character. You believe that? I'm a character. My name's Tuffy. I'm getting older. I changed my name. It's Fluffy now. It's not Tuffy. But I want you to know that a lot of people go through a lot of problems. I can name one after another, and all they do is come and pray and ask me to pray for them. Or they ask this, and they ask this, and they ask this. The various trials, it's in your life alone. I just met a man yesterday that lost his wife after 63 years of marriage. And he said, I really don't know what to do with myself because she always called the shots. I said, is that something strange to y'all men? The woman calls the shots? All the men go, I better not say amen, I'll get in trouble. But the Bible says that there are trials that we come through. I've had cancer. I've been clear 3 years. That's a trial. What am I going to do about it? The joy of our salvation is complete, and also through the trials. It says that it's going to be considered a great joy, what you go through. You know, I've been around people that I cannot believe they still have joy, as much stuff as they've happened in their lives. And I tell you, that is a wonderful thing, is to be around someone that's gone through about everything you can think of, and they still love Jesus. And they still want the best for everybody else. And I said, I can't be that way a lot of times. A lot of people I'd just like to put on. It's a good thing I'm not God, because I'd push a button. You're gone, you're gone, you're gone. But that's not the way God is. God wants us to have joy in our lives. He wants us to make sure that through these trials that we help other people. It's really sad. I cried like a baby when my dad died. I watched Mama and Dad die. But you know what? The longer I live without them, the more joyful I am about why I had them. The trials and tribulations are rough, people. But I guarantee you, God is over those, because it says that consider it a great joy. I don't know about you, but a lot of the disciples, they got beheaded. A lot of people are dying because of Jesus' name. Churches in California, they're trying to shut them down. You can't worship God. I said, phooey, I'm going to worship God every day. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to pray for this. I'm going to have joy in my life. I'm not going to listen to the media. If y'all get on the media and listen to it, it's going to kill your joy. Because it's the world. It's not Christians. Christians are people that are above the world. It says we're sojourners. We will go through this world with all the heartache and trials. Well, I didn't get a fair shake. Well, who gets a fair shake today? Anybody? Jesus didn't get one. I'm working on a sermon, how many times Satan tried to kill Jesus. Did y'all know he tried to kill Jesus a bunch? The various trials and tribulations you come in has already been paid for. Jesus is the one that you need to have joy in. How many is joyful today? Oh, come on now. There's at least three now. All right. All right. I'm getting excited too. The joy is coming out. You see, when you have joy, all that happiness and all the things behind it start leaving. The joy in troubles. Number six is there's a joy in persecution. Disciples were beaten. They were smashed and whatever needed to be done. But that didn't stop them. It's real strange. I can go around people and they'll be cussing and telling dirty jokes and they'll find out that I go on missions. I go tell people about Jesus. I wear hats. If you want a hat, I give hats away that have scripture on them. They'll look at them or they'll duck their head, one of the two, and it has a cross on it. I wear that every day. I didn't wear it today because I wanted you to see my bald hair like Monty. But the thing about it is that people make fun of you because of who you are, but sometimes they respect you. There was a man, I used to build buildings and stuff, and I went with this man. He said, man, you don't want to get in the pickup with him. He's got the dirtiest language you ever saw. But he knew about me. He knew about if I got 5 minutes with you, I could find out if you're just a Christian or not. That's just how I am. I just turned a different key. I'm a joyful person. I have my down times, but I'm glad that I'm a Christian. I'm a joyful person in terms of having a good time. I like to tell jokes. Did y'all know that? Monty even sent me one. I about fell over. He told me, sent me a joke. Good night, Monty. I didn't know you was a joke teller. But anyway, I went, and this man, I rode with him in the pickup, and he never said one bad word, and he never said one thing out of context. And I told him, I appreciate that because the testimony I had about you was somebody that didn't want me to really be around you because you had a bad deal. And he said, no, I respect people that stand up. But he never did finish what? Stand up. But Jesus is the one that you stand up for, and Jesus is the one that will cause all kinds of havoc. Because Jesus came into the world not to destroy the world, but to make it whole. And he wanted to make you whole, and he wants to complete that joy in you. Some of you have been playing a game for a long time, and that joy that you get persecuted and stuff is that you take it personally. Well, let me tell you, you're not that special. Jesus is that special, but not you. You see, Jesus came to die for the sinners that they might have life. And the persecution that Jesus said that he took, whippings, beatings, cursing, spitting, and you haven't had that on your life yet, and hopefully you won't. But even if it comes, it's been told in the scriptures, the joy that we will have by going through persecution. You know what it does to you? You know what it does to you? It makes you stronger. You know where we heard it in Sunday school, you know when most trouble comes, the churches start getting fuller. But when people get scared, they get empty. And I want you to know that if people are scared, that they're controlled. Not by God, but by Satan himself and his angels. Because if you're scared, then the joy has left you. You see, a lot of times you get scared. And when they told me I had cancer, I wasn't scared. I was thinking, well, here we go. I went in to have surgery, and guess what? The woman that was getting me ready just got back on a mission trip. And I went, amen, praise God. And she was telling about some of the people that were saved on the mission trip. And I said, amen, when are you going back? She said, well, I just talked to my neighbor yesterday. And I said, amen. Then I went into the room, and now they won't let anybody in the hospital. When I went in the room and they got me ready and stuff, I had eight people in a room smaller than that piano. And all of them was praying for me. And I said, just pray that for the doctors. I'm okay. It's the doctors that needs the prayer, not me. And the doctor came in, and I prayed with my doctor, and he said, thank you. And I gave him one of my hats. I gave him one of my hats, and he's got it on his desk. And I told him, I said, just remember, you're not the best physician. God is. And I know who God is, and he's going to take care of whatever needs to be done. Whatever happens is great because of the persecution that comes. Just remember, everything is okay. A lot of people said, oh, you can say that all day. No, everything's okay in a Christ situation. People call it crisis, and I call it Christ situation. Because everything's okay. Because the joy that's inside of us. Well, that's number six. Number seven takes an hour. But I want you to know, does anybody remember any of the joys that I've covered? Anybody? The first one's what? Salvation. The second one is baptism. Third's God's Word. The fourth one is prayer. The fifth one is in troubles. And the joy in persecution. How do you stand so far? Are you joyful? Here's the one I like the best. And number seven is joy of dying is in a believer. When a believer dies. Who is the one that died and it says that the rich man was just buried? Do y'all remember who that was? Who was that? Do y'all remember? Abraham. They were taken to Abraham's bosom. The rich man and... Huh? Yeah. Now we got an educated group. I'm glad y'all knew it. Acts 20:24. Now Lazarus was taken with the angels, it says, and taken to God. When I watched my parents die, I was waiting for those angels to come get them. You know, sometimes you might get to see one. It says you around angels unaware, but angels come and get your soul who's a Christian and gets to be escorted through this air because Satan is the prince of the air. So he's still fighting to get you even after you're dead. But the Bible says that went on to be with the Father. But the joy in a believer in Acts 20:24, it says, but I count my life of what? No value to myself. Christ is all of it, so that I may finish my course and the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace. The joy is finishing the course and the ministry that God's given us. Not everybody has a ministry. Did you know that? Because the lost people don't have a ministry. They're leading people to hell. But the Bible says that a Christian gets to go to be with the Lord. And it says that Habakkuk, it says he wanted to know what God was doing. Do y'all know what God's doing? He's getting his church ready. He's getting his people ready. He's saving people. He's leading the charge to build a new mansion for us, a new earth for us, to get things ready to go. And it says when we die, as Paul said, it's gain. Not that we want to die. Does anybody want to die today? See, I didn't think so. Well, you do. Are you with me on everything? Amen. But the Bible says if you go today, are you ready to go today? I want to read something that I got from a guy. I want you to know. I swore I'd never do this before again, but I want y'all to listen to this. If y'all want it, let me see if I got it. Y'all don't get in a hurry. There's one that I want you to listen to this. This is by Ryrie. Anybody know Ryrie Bible? Do y'all know that? Listen to what he said. According to the men of the world, few are going to hell. According to the Bible, few are going to heaven. Does that make sense to y'all? I like sayings. Do y'all like sayings? That's scriptural because it says broad is the way to destruction, narrow is the way to Jesus Christ. That's another way of saying it. But that was what he said. But joy of dying in a believer in Acts 20:24 is that I may finish the course and the ministry that God's given me. What a joy. When it's over for you when you die here. Your testimony will live on. Did you know that? I hope that you have a good testimony when you die and someone says something good about you when you're here. And I hope it's about Jesus. I hope that when you die, someone's going to say, you know, he loved Jesus. What a great testimony. But the joy is, and here it is. You're wondering what God's doing? God's trying to teach us a lot. For you Christians out there, it says, don't trust in Washington. And all the people said,
amen.
Don't trust in the United Nations.
Amen.
Now, if you don't amen me, that means you must not agree. But if you agree, it's not about people and it's not about the world, it's about Jesus Christ. There's only one name under heaven a person must be saved, and that's Jesus. Don't trust in myself. Man, y'all not getting too excited. Don't trust in myself.
Amen.
Don't trust in money.
Amen.
The more you get, the more you want. Is that true?
Yes.
How many would like to have a bunch of money? Raise your hand. But at least you're not lying. The rest of them are. I like people that don't lie. Amen? That's the fourth, fifth, and sixth commandment. Amen? But put your trust in Jesus Christ and everything else shatters. Did you know that? What kind of joy do you have in Christ? Are you a joyful person? Would I like being around you because you talk about Jesus? Or do you live for Jesus? When you have happiness, does it kind of leave you and you're wondering what's going to happen? Habakkuk knew exactly what was going to happen and he asked God to change it. God's not going to change what he has created. You're the way you are. Aren't you glad there's not another Tuffy? God's made it right for you. There's not another David or Terry. Aren't you glad? Or Lisa. Amen. But I want you to know that God has created us to do the work and have the joy that he's made us. You know, the people that are joyful are the people that change. People that still are the same as had been 2 years ago, 5 years ago, and they're always upset till God gets a hold of them, they're not going to change. Till they read God's Word. Till they pray. Till they're saved. Redeemed, changed. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of times I would like to see someone change. And you know who the one I pray the most about? Me. You know who needs to change? You. You know who's going to change? Whoever seeks God. Whoever does what God wants them to do. And I want you to know, one day, we're going to find out. Some of you are going to find out sooner or other. Some of you are going to die before Jesus comes back. Some of you not. But I want you to know, Jesus is the one that we need to be joyful about. Do you love Him? Are you being changed? I'm going to ask you, in Romans 10:9-10, and it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What a joyful thing for a person that's sinful gets to come to be redeemed. You see, Jesus is not finished with me. Did y'all know that? I am not finished product. But I'm a redeemed product that it's complete in joy. You see, I have a relationship with Jesus that nobody can take away. I'm saved once, being joyful off and on forever. But the joy is there. No matter what I go through, I'll keep looking back and saying, that's why, that's why, that's why. All of those things work according to His will, not my will. You know, if it was my will, we'd have a good time in here all the time. Some of us come with burdens. Some of us don't understand what God's doing. And back is the same way. Just remember, the joy that you have, I gave you seven of them, but there's more than seven, but I gave you seven that really touched my life this last week. Through those joys, I'm excited for you because you got to hear my seven, and it should change your life because you're joyful now. And you're going to be a different person because you're going to start putting joy in your life instead of happiness, because your happiness fades away, but your joy lasts forever. If you need to know Jesus Christ today, I'll be glad to stand here with you. And if you don't want to touch me or mirror memory, let's stand 6 foot apart and let's pray about it. And if you're away from God and you haven't got that joy and you want that joy returned, that strength that God gives you, we'll pray about that. I'm not going to touch you. I know that everybody's sometimes leery of this and that, but I touched Terry and licked him and everything else. And everything's fine. But if there's anything you need to pray about, I'll be glad to. Are y'all happy? No, are y'all joyful, aren't you? How many is glad they're here today? How many is going to make a decision for Christ today? How many? One is all that's going to make a decision for Christ. Anybody else? Anybody else going to make a decision for Christ to be more joyful? Anybody? Amen. He is. Anybody else? Anybody else going to make a decision to be more joyful? Amen. You play the piano like you're already joyful. Anybody else? Anybody else? One more. Anybody else joyful? Amen. Amen. In the pink mask. Amen. And you. I'm going to pray for you right now, and Terry's going to come up, and we're going to have an invitation. I don't know if you have an invitation here or not, but we're going to have one. And if you'll play us something, and Terry, if you'll lead us in something. And I'm going to have a word of prayer before we stand, and we're going to have a song of invitation. And if God's spoken to you through whatever it might be, I don't know, through your trials and tribulations, through your prayer life, through reading God's Word, or your salvation, we're going to pray, and then we're going to stand and sing a song. And some of you already made decisions, so you don't really have to come unless you want to make it public. And some of you have, and some of you needs to. And the joy will be extended if you make it public. Okay? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You again for blessing us today. What a joy. And all the people said, what a joy. And all the people said, what a joy to be here today. And I thank You again for each one here. And You know they've been prayed for, and they know that they need the encouragement in this world and the things that are going on. Is that You always had a people. You always had people that stood up because of the joy that's in them, because of the change that's in our lives. And I pray now that You'll just bless them. And they're in this invitation, if they're just one that says, oh, I just need to pray. Or I just need to change. Or I just need a joy. Not to be ashamed of it, but to redeem it. And enjoy what God's created for us. Thank You again for Your blessings. Thank You for the things You're doing, but most of all, who You are. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, name above all. Amen. Let's stand and sing.
Just as I am. Just as
So excited he's going to stand up and clap and raise his hand and everything. But I want to tell you, I told Monty, I said, you might not have a church when I get through with him. And I said, I'm going to call him and tell him he's going to have a church because there's joyful people in that church. Amen?
Amen.
I'm sure glad to be here today. Are you glad to be here today?
Amen.
Terry, it's all yours, bro.